Jesus.
Amen.
By your life and the blood of the Lamb.
Each and every one this evening. We do give everyone a warm welcome. Our brother Colin's going to come and share his testimony tonight. You know, several years ago, Colin was out of Brother Ian shooting. He wasn't saved. And I was going home and I said to Ian, I said, that young man's going to get saved. He says, how do you know? I says, I know. And I knew it. Come ahead, brother. God bless you.
Evening, everybody. Come on, get this. I'll sit down. Take a seat. I would like to thank Pastor Tommy for giving me an opportunity to come and share a bit of a testimony. It's good to have a testimony, and here's a bit of mine. As a young boy, I was sent to First Moor Presbyterian. It's only about 8 or 9 when I stopped going there, but I don't remember, you know, hearing that I had to be saved or any need of salvation. Well, I had no interest anyway, like at that age, but and then I started to Moor High School, but in the first year of high school, Ma and Da separated. And that had a big effect on how I operated. And then it was having to live between them, and they said at the start, give us 6 months, it's only a break, we'll get back. But that didn't happen, and that had no effect. They sort of thinking, you know, things are going to get better here, but it didn't happen. And then I started, in the summer of first year, and I started drinking and smoking, and just messing about and being a nuisance for everybody. Like. And then in third year, come on me, I want to get this tattoo, and that's what I done. So at the age sort of 14, I was out getting drunk and taking all sorts of drugs and, you know, all the things that you shouldn't be doing at any time, never mind as young, like. And then my mum, she met Ma. And he tried to help me, like, and but it didn't work either, you know. He would have tried to keep me busy, you know, cutting grass and doing bits and pieces, but that didn't do me any good, you know. It just kept going the way it was going. And then when I got to about 17 or 18, me and my friends were going out for a mate's birthday, and we'll get speed, coke and meth all for the one night. And we took the whole lot of it and went to Belfast and got home, and no recollection of anything from leaving the house. Just about remember leaving the house, and woke up the next morning and on Facebook, and there was these photos of us boys all out, you know, no recognition of anything. How we got home, and then I went in to work on the Monday, and the boss said, I've seen these photos on the internet of you, and I had been taking drugs in the toilets and work throughout, you know, my time being there. So he had to, you know, sack me then at that stage, so I lost my job. That definitely didn't do me any favours either, like. But still went attacking all I got. Sort of, I quit taking drugs after that night, after having no recollection of anything that was going on, you know. So that scared me, like. So I just said, that's it, I stopped that. And then, you know, got in bars, yeah, and got sort of back on track. And then, that's where things started to change. I met Lydia then, and she would always witness to me and tell me about God and all, even though she wasn't going to church at the time. But, you know, obviously in her upbringing, she would come here and she learned all about the Lord and all. And then, but I still had no time for it. But, you know, obviously it was still going, and I was here and that. And then she took me out a few months after meeting her to meet Ian and Jenny, and I even went into their home, and like, it was just like a real different presence and atmosphere within their home. Like, just, you know, you could feel the presence of the Lord, and I had never experienced anything like this before, like. And then Lydia and me, we got engaged and started going to the Baptist in Dromore there. But to be honest, the only reason I was going there was the summer to get married, job done, and not go back. But then Ian, that was it, like, it was nothing exciting there. Then Ian invited me to go to the tent mission not far from his house, and John Weir, the evangelist, he was preaching, and I was sitting there and I was thinking, like, this man's just solely speaking to me here. And he says, Ian's at the crack here, he is telling him I'm coming, just speak to him. And, you know, he was trying to get me involved with the whole religion thing, like. And I was thinking, it's going away, that way I must think I'm stupid here, like, you know, trying to get just trying to get me onto that. But then went home, and I sort of a bit restless. I didn't sleep great for 2 nights. It was a Thursday I went. The Thursday night didn't sleep, Friday night didn't sleep. And then Saturday come in, and a wee old woman come in, I do work for, and you know, godly wee woman says, you know, I'm praying for you. And then that hit me, I was like, flip me, you know, what's the crack here? And then on the Sunday, I come hear that Tommy was preaching. I can't exactly remember. There's not much going on in my head. I can't remember exactly what Tommy was preaching, but see, Tommy finished on the verse, and then John Weir picked up on that verse just as Tommy had finished. That later on that night at the tent mission, and I was sitting, and I was saying, I thought Ian had told Tommy he's come and speak to him, and then it was the same come back to the mission. But and then John was preaching, and I looked around, and there was all these people that I knew who were in the same position as I was, you know, didn't go to church. I said, that one isn't just worried about me being here, he's thinking of, you know, he's just preaching to the whole congregation. And then at the end of it, he read Mark 8, verse 36, and what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then that made me realise, like, you know, I needed to get saved, like. And then I asked the Lord into my heart, and the scriptures say, you know, Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I realised that he had shed his blood on the cross for me, and I thank God for his mercy to me, and, you know, thank him for saving me. And then he saved Lily a few days later, and you know, obviously we're trying to go along, it's hard, like, but, you know, I just had to keep going. But, like, you know, if it's powerful to know that we have a friend in Jesus, and, you know, he saves and he looks after us all, like, you know, God bless all of you, you know.
Praise God, and there's others as well I'm going to get to share the testimony when you get a hold of them. I'll get them all eventually. Praise God, isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
And you know, first time I ever saw Carl, I can't explain it, but I knew he was going to get saved. And sometimes you can know things, God can let you know things, and you have faith for it. You just have the faith for it. And I just knew that Colin was going to come, and he did come. And sometimes that can happen, then there's other times when you don't feel like that, and God will still do it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we just thank the Lord for Colin, and I'll tell you, John Weir, John Weir, the Lord's really used John Weir tremendously. And there was a lot of people saved at that tent mission, and other meetings as well. And I remember I was away at a man's house one day, and this man, he works for one of the electric companies, and what he does, he's just an ordinary fellow that goes to church, but he feels in his heart his job to do for God is to give to whoever he meets a DVD of somebody's testimony. And I was telling him I preached and everything, and he wanted a DVD of my testimony, but I didn't have the Pacific DVD, just the testimony. But he gave me John Weir's testimony, and he's a tremendous testimony. He was really a top footballer, and then he damaged his knee and everything, and thought there was no hope for anything, but God saved him and delivered him, and the Lord's using him. And John's testimonies went round an awful lot of places, you know, probably where he doesn't even know either. And a testimony's a powerful thing. And the revelation says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
And we thank God tonight for the testimony. Praise God. I want to have a wee look tonight at the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews, and I love the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. And I want to take a look at this book, and I want us to see this evening several contrasts. And there's the contrast of Moses and Jesus, of Aaron the high priest and Jesus the new high priest. They're a contrast. And then the contrast of the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of Christ. And it's not only a contrast of the bloods, but also the tabernacles, the one reared up by Moses in the wilderness and the one with Jesus in heaven. And see where Jesus enters in and sits down as our high priest in heaven. His home is the holiest of holies. Praise God. We can read verse 21 to 24 of Hebrews chapter 9. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for the testimony. We thank you for Brother Colin and for his life. We do sincerely ask that the power of God will continually come upon our brother and lead him and guide him and bless him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, bless your word to all of our hearts tonight. Give us the context of the text. Bind every work of the devil, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. We ask for those that maybe had to work tonight or away that you'll bless them and you'll be with them. And I pray for those that's here this evening, you'll bless and strengthen them. And if anyone's listening in that's not saved or doesn't know you, may you save them. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Now Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, I mentioned on Wednesday night that I asked Brother John here to pray for my foot. And I know he was praying for me, and the Lord touched my foot. And then Ian said to me this morning, we come up to pray for people here. And Ian was praying, and he said, the Lord's touched me as well. And I was thinking when I'm at home, you know, I've had a bad elbow for a long time. I got it with a spade, digging in hard ground. Not a good combination. I broke him with 3 spades that day. Fella says you couldn't carry spades to you. And I says, they don't make them like they used to. But I had a pain there, but that pain went this morning.
Amen.
And Ian says to me, there's a bone was out, but it's now back in. And I said, praise God.
Amen.
And I was thinking about it, and the pain was probably coming from up here to the shoulder. And the Lord's a healer.
Amen.
And I tell you, God's able to do it. Praise God. Here's a wonderful scriptures here tonight we want to look at. The priest under the old covenant can only stay long enough to make the atonement. I want you to see that tonight. When the old tabernacle was raised up in the wilderness, it is a figure of the true. That priest could not enter in to the tabernacle without first offering for himself and the people. But we have a priest tonight that never ever had to offer once for himself, for he was without sin.
Amen.
And this priest could only enter in once. And then each year he had to do it again. But this priest, now Jesus Christ, entered in once and for all. By one sacrifice are we perfected forever. This tells of how the tabernacle and the vessels were cleansed in a reading here. Notice the startling thing, what Adam's sin reached the whole way to heaven. And because Adam's sin reached the whole way to heaven, I will say this tonight, and I preached this for years. The blood of Jesus reached the whole way to heaven.
Amen.
There's preachers that do not believe that the blood of Jesus literally reached heaven, but I believe it did.
Amen.
The reason I believe it is because the Bible says it. The Bible says as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so are the heavenly.
Amen.
And I believe the blood of Jesus reached heaven and it opened heaven so that me and you could go there. Heaven had to be opened. You say, brother, what are you talking about? Well, under the old covenant, it could never be opened. They weren't in heaven when they died. They were in Abraham's bosom. They couldn't go to heaven. They could not come out of Abraham's bosom until Christ died at the cross. And when Christ died at the cross, he emptied Abraham's bosom and he opened the way into heaven. Verse 24, for Christ does not enter into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus Christ appears in the presence of Almighty God for us. I tell you, it's not wonderful tonight. This is the climax of it all. This lets us see the contrast of God's estimation of the blood of Christ and the blood of bulls and goats. As we come to the value, the blood of Christ, God values it. And when we see how God values the blood of Christ, then the problem of our standing and relationship should never once enter our minds.
That's right.
I want you to get that again. When we see how God values the blood of Christ, our standing and our relationship should never enter our minds. We should never fear.
Amen.
Because the old blood covenant, which was the bullock or the lamb, only covered sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ remits sin. It takes it away. Not only does it take sin away, but it clears the conscience. The old couldn't do that. It covered it. It never took it away. But your sins are gone. And they're gone to stay.
Amen.
Into the sea of God's forgetfulness. There's not one of your sins can come back to you tonight and condemn you. Not a one of them. If they do, it's a lie. God has took them away. You're a free man.
Amen.
And a free woman tonight. Why? Because God, this is the estimation of Almighty God, not me or you.
Amen.
This is God's doing.
That's right.
God's estimation.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're not looking at our estimation, but God's. I want you to see that tonight. The new mediator. The blood of bulls and goats under the first covenant only cleansed or sanctified the flesh. But the blood of Christ is to cleanse our conscience from dead works, so that we can stand uncondemned in the presence of the living God. Because God accepted Jesus' blood when he carried it into the holiest of holies, he has become, by that act, the mediator of the new covenant.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. And here's something else. Here's something else what the New Testament says. A better covenant. For it says if the first had been perfect, there'd have been no need for another. But it wasn't. There was faults in it.
Right.
And you remember that before law, there was grace. Abraham had grace. But law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't that the Bible?
That's right.
We're no longer under the law. We're under grace. We're under a new covenant. We're under the blood of Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
And his blood's powerful. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says this: for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The reason man needs a mediator is because he has lost his standing with God.
Yes.
He has no ground in which he can approach him.
Amen.
Natural man is but an outlaw in the eyes of God.
Amen.
An outlaw. You hearing me? He's an outlaw in the eyes of God. Because the word of God said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But here's the good part. But God has laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
Jesus Christ took our place. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Ephesians 2 verse 2 tells us this: where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. A brother Colin in his testimony told how he once walked, how he once lived, but God delivered him and set him wonderfully free from what? Drugs to Jesus.
That's right.
From drugs to Jesus.
Right.
I'll tell you, there's no high like the high of the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel.
Yes.
The gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's the best pill you can get.
Amen.
The gospel.
Glory.
Amen.
Right.
I tell you, it cures everything. It cleanses and it makes whole. Praise God for it. Jesus Christ is now the one and only mediator between God and man. The blood of bulls and goats did not take away sin. It merely covered it temporarily.
Yes.
But when Christ came, he redeemed all of those who had trusted in the blood of bulls and goats. I was thinking about this. As I wrote this and studied this, I was thinking about this. And I
and then a newer ones. Because you see, those who were faithful under the old covenant were did offer the blood of bulls and goats and did keep the law. God preserved them in Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
Then when Jesus went to the cross, he redeemed them out of it.
All right. Amen.
And the graves opened.
Yes.
Praise God for it.
Amen.
And they had the full atonement of the salvation Christ paid for. They had a taste of it as well.
That's great.
Hallelujah. And you know, the word of God says they cannot be made perfect without us. Ain't that something? I tell you, God's coming and the Lord's coming again. When Christ come, he redeemed all of those who are trusted in the blood of bulls and goats. He died for the redemption of the transgressor that were under the first covenant. Those sacrifices under the old covenant were like a promissory note which he cashed in on Calvary. That's the truth. And he redeemed them all. All those that kept it. Praise God. God kept his covenant with Israel when he sent his son to become sin. And he laid upon him all the sins under the first covenant, that by accepting him as a savior, Israel might come into the promised redemption. And I tell you, it's wonderful, for God's not even finished with Israel yet. He's still going to turn to them, you know that. When the church of God, the real church, gets raptured and goes home, God is going to turn back to Israel. And Moses and Elijah is going to go down to Israel and preach to them the same Pentecostal message would we receive. And they're going to be sealed with the seal of God. Amen? And God is going to seal 144,000 Jews in one day. It's not our God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm sorry to the Mormons. They're not it. It's to the Jews, the 144. Now Mormons can get saved, but they're not part of the 144. They're mixed up badly there. They need to smash the tablets that Joseph Smith brought them and turn them back to the Bible.
Amen.
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 Turn to the Word of God. He put away sin. This is the great heart teaching of the book of Hebrews. Under the first covenant, sin was covered. The best that the Israelite had under the first covenant was a blood covering or atonement. The word atonement means to cover. But under the new covenant, our sins are not covered. They are put away. They are omitted. They are as though they had never been. Brother Branham calls the bleach of the blood of Jesus. When he talks about the blood of Jesus and the powerfulness of the blood of Jesus, he talks about the bleach of the blood of Jesus. And he says, if you drop one drop of ink into the bucket of bleach, the bleach will annihilate the ink completely. You'll never see any of the ink. It'll annihilate it. And he says, that's what your sins are like. Under the blood of Jesus are gone.
Right.
No longer to be remembered against you no more. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. Colossians 2 verse 14, what's that say? It said the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, that was the law. Jesus nailed to the cross.
Amen.
He nailed it to his cross. In other words, he dealt with it for us. Thank God tonight he dealt with it. Now when you read here in Hebrews 9 verse 25 and 6 again, nor yet that it should often offer himself often as the high priest entered in the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, and I want you to get this word here, once in the end of the world. I want you to get that. Once in the end of the world, he had appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
The expression, the end of the world or the end of the ages, means the two ages met. What are you talking about? Hebrews again. What's it saying? When the fullness of time was come, God sent his son into the world. When the fullness of time was come. The two ages met. The Old Testament come into the new. They met. We don't go out and sacrifice a bullock no more. Jesus has done it.
Amen.
We need no other priest. He is our priest tonight. He's not just our priest, he's our high priest. He's not just a high priest, but he ever liveth. To make intercession for the saints. Praise God. The cross was where the old method of counting ended.
cross. You say, where does it say it? Jesus said, it's finished. When he said that, that meant just more than I'm going here. When Jesus said the words, it's finished, he didn't just mean I'm going. It meant more than that. It meant the end of the old covenant as well. Now you have to understand this. I want you to picture this in your mind tonight. I want you to picture that this wee earthly priest, and he stressed himself and all these priestly robes that they did under the Old Testament. And he's gone down into the temple. And he goes through into the holies and into the holies of holies, and he's getting in there, and Jesus is on the cross, and that priest right before him, the veil rags in front of him.
Amen.
I guarantee you, he was in shock. And that veil, it says, as thick as a man's hand, is woven. And it says, it's thick, the thickness of it's the thickness of a man's hand. That's how thick it is. And it rent from the top to the bottom. God rent it. The Bible says God rent the veil. And the way was made into the holiest of holies. No earthly priest had to go in anymore, but Jesus went in. And here's another thing about the earthly priest. When the earthly priest went into that old tabernacle, they put a rope on his ankle. And the end of his garments was pomegranates and bells. There's a sermon on all of it, you know. Pomegranates and bells on the end of his garments. And as he went down in there to the holy place, if he'd done anything amiss from that law, he dropped dead. He wasn't accepted. And he couldn't go in without blood. He had to go in with blood and sprinkle it. But if he was accepted by God, when he reached the holiest of holies, the bells rang. And they knew he was all right. If the bells didn't ring, they knew he was dead. And the reason that the rope on his ankles, they don't go in, for God would kill every one of them. They'd all die. And they had to pull him out, for they don't go in. But I want to tell you, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus said it's finished, and the Bible said the veil of the temple's rent in twain from the top to the bottom, Jesus Christ entered heaven, and the bells are now ringing continually.
Amen.
The bells ringing in heaven.
Yes,
and there's a way made. A new and living way into the very presence of a holy God.
Amen.
For me and you tonight, and every man and woman that'll come, there's a way made. Thank God, there's a way made. The cross was where the two end ended, and it was a place where the two for new time began. The thing that stood between man and God was Adam's transgression. It was Adam's transgression that separated you and me from God. Even if we'd never done one thing wrong, we were still separated. Because we all die in Adam. That's the Bible. But we all live in Jesus Christ. That's also the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we all are guilty and we all die because of Adam. But this Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, he came that we could have life and that more abundant.
Amen.
Jesus settled the sin problem. He made it possible for God to legally remit all that we ever done. Jesus made it possible. And give us eternal life, making us new creatures. You're a new creature tonight, brother.
Amen.
You used to be the wee fella that took the drugs. I used to do all sorts of things myself. All of us did. But we're new creatures tonight. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what the blood of Jesus can do. It can cleanse a man. It can cleanse a woman. I want you to see in 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
Verse 18. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. People in this country and politics have talked about reconciliation, but you cannot have a ministry of reconciliation without the gospel. The gospel is the only ministry there is of reconciliation, and it calls us for repentance.
That's right.
And there can be no reconciliation without repentance. But where a man and a woman will realize they're a sinner and repent of their sins, they can come to Jesus.
Amen.
And he'll receive them as they are. And he'll cleanse them and he'll wash them.
Amen.
The one sacrifice. There's not two ways tonight, there's one.
Amen.
One way. The changing of the covenant and the changing of the priesthood left Israel almost homeless. Do you realize that? Left them near enough homeless. To leave the gorgeous temple for street preaching. You think of it, when Jesus came, he preached on the streets. Jesus himself said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man's nowhere to lay his head. Jesus didn't go down and say, well, this is a fine building, I'll have a service here. No, he never worked like that. Preached everywhere.
Amen.
Preached in boats, the harbour. Don't think that God needs some flush place for the moving.
Amen.
When Jesus was here on earth, he moved on the streets.
Amen.
He's still the same tonight. He's Hebrews 13 and 8. The same yesterday, today and forever.
Amen.
He can move anywhere he wants.
Amen.
Street preaching. Thank God for men and women that's got the guts to preach on the streets. And preaching in Grove colleges and meetings. I tell you, it would stagger anybody, wouldn't it? Think of that wee house where he went in till, and it was packed out, and the man that was on the couch, they couldn't get him in, and they tore the tiles of the roof. I guarantee your fellow owned the house wasn't happy. But they tore the tiles of the roof and they let him down.
Amen.
Now here's an interesting thing, and I know you know that. You remember when I preached about the five loaves and the fishes, and I preached about there were 7,000 in one place, and there's 5,000 in another place? How many remembers that? And then I told you, for he filled 7 baskets in one place, and he filled 5 baskets in another place. And the 5 baskets was a type of grace. Fine. How many remembers that? But you see that one of the baskets they filled was big enough to put a man in. They weren't just wee shopping baskets. And then when you read about this man let down through the roof in a basket, can you see that now? That's how big it was.
Amen.
He could put a man in it. And they let him down through the roof for a basket. And he didn't need it to leave him.
Glory.
Because the power of the Lord was present to heal. And he walked out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
That's the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The one sacrifice that Jesus made of himself made an end to the slaughtering of animals, the crying of blood into the holies of holies. It was the end of the sin covering. No more a sin covering, but a sin removal.
Amen.
Not just a wee plaster that covers it. It's still there to take the plaster off. But it removes it. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
No more to condemn you, brother or sister. It's gone. Hebrews 10:12 says this, but this man, now he's talking about the Lord, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now when the devil starts to tell you about one of your sins, you need to quote him. Hebrews here, chapter 10, verse 12.
Amen.
And you need to remind him that this is forever settled.
Right.
That's even longer than you or me's living here on this earth. That's right into the glory, forever. Oh, but I don't know if the gospel would last that long. Then you need to read the Revelations. For Revelation says it's an everlasting gospel.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Chapter 1, verse 3 of Hebrews. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat on the right hand of the majesty in hand.
Yeah.
And you know what you do when you sit down after you come home from your work? You're finished. I want you to get that tonight. Do you ever hear William Branham saying about the wee man? He says, it's great when you come home and you sit down and stroke your face. Have you ever heard him say that? You hear him say that? Great, you know, you sit down and she sits on your knee and she strokes you. Well, I was going to say her, but there's no chance of it. No chance of it for me. But it's there somewhere, brothers. Hey, they're all numbered. I don't know where they are, but he does.
Amen.
They're all numbered.
But Jesus has sat down. The work's done. I hope you can get that.
Amen.
He's already done the work.
Hallelujah.
Why are you struggling? Why are you struggling to do it when he's already done it?
That's right.
You need a rest.
Amen.
Rest on what he's already done.
Amen.
Whether salvation or healing or the Holy Ghost, you need a rest. The Bible says you cease from your own works.
Amen.
There is a rest that remaineth for the people of God.
Hallelujah.
A rest. And we enter into his rest. And we cease from our own works, for he has sat down. He's done it. And he's done it for all eternity.
Amen.
He's done it for all time. This once for all offering ended the scapegoat and the burying of sin. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. Turn with me and maybe a brother bring it up. Leviticus 16. Let me read you this to get you this picture. This is how it used to be, you know, in the Old Testament. Many have ever heard the phrase the scapegoat. Maybe you don't fully understand, but here it is. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he may come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with the young bullock, for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put an holy linen coat on, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle. And with the linen miner shall he be attired. These are the holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Verse 5. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 8. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, and the lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. So 1 goat was for the people, and 1 goat was for to appease God. Now let's follow this. Verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement with him, and to let go for the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering for himself. And he shall take the censer full of burnt coals and fire from off the altar before the Lord, and the hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Now this is a scapegoat. The congregation, they laid their hands on it as a type of transferring their sin. And they all laid their hands upon it, and their sin was transferred onto the scapegoat, and this scapegoat was let off into the wilderness, and it was a type of carrying away their sin. And the Bible clearly tells us Jesus is now our scapegoat.
Amen.
We lay our hands upon the Son of God by faith, and he takes our sin, and he takes it for all time and eternity. Now you can read on down through these when you get home. I don't want to take the time to read all of this. Verse 18, and he shall go out upon unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make atonement for it, and shall take of the bullock, of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about, and he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it and hallow it for the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when it made an end of reconciliation, the holy place in the tabernacle of the congregation on the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Verse 21, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions of their sin, putting them upon the head of the goat, and he shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And this fellow, after he basically ran him out. That's what tells you, fit man. Read everything in this Bible, it's all for a reason. Fit fellow's a boy that could run out 10 miles. he took him well out of the road from the camp, and he let him go. And there's a Bible, what's it say? Jesus suffered without the camp.
That's right.
Every scripture matches the Lord.
Amen.
Even in the Old Testament, verse 22, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquity unto land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat into the wilderness. A type of a carrying away. Are you seeing it now? Your sins carried away into the wilderness. But Jesus went one better. He removed them forever.
Amen.
He didn't just carry them away or cover them, but he removes them.
Amen.
There's no condemnation to you tonight.
Amen.
Where are you reading? In Romans 8. There's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because he's our scapegoat.
That's right.
This was the annual day of humiliation and expiation for the sins of the nations. When the high priest made the atonement for the sanctuary, the priests and the people, the high priest laying aside his official ornaments, first offered a sin offering for himself and for the priesthood. Jesus never had to do that. He never had to offer for himself on the priesthood. He only offered for the people. I want you to see this as superior tonight. Are you following this?
Amen.
Praise God. First offering for himself and for the priesthood, entering into the holies of holies with blood. He afterward took two he-goats for the nation. One was slain for Jehovah, one's head of the other sins of the people were typically led. It was made the sin bearer of the nation, laden with guilt. It was sent away into the wilderness. We've read it. Mark 15:38. This tells of the death of Christ on the cross and the rending of the veil between the holy place and the holy of holies, where the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Here in verse 38 of Mark, Mark 15:38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom when he was on that cross.
Amen.
The work was finished.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Finished. You know they're trying to start it again. How many knows that? They're trying to reintroduce it. But I want to tell you something, that Christ did it forever.
Amen.
This was the end of the holiest of holies on earth. There's no more on earth. It was the beginning of a new covenant of his blood.
Yes.
Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
Not just a goat or some lamb or a bullock, but with his own blood.
Amen.
This is God's blood, not just the blood of a good man, but God's blood. There's many things I could say about that, but I won't for time. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 23 of Hebrews 9. Verse 24. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. And a fellow tells you, he never done it in heaven. Well, you know he's false then. Because this Bible says he did. You see how the devil works? The devil wants people not to preach the blood. You hear, you can look this up, for William Branham says this. Here's what he says. He says they've even done taking the blood of the hymn books. That's the way he says it. He says they've even done taking the blood of the hymn books. He says they don't want to sing about the blood no more. But he says it is a bloody gospel. He said this is a blood-stained book. We have a blood-stained message. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It's a blood covenant.
Amen.
Man from the very outset knew there was a blood covenant. And David Livingstone, when he went to Africa, the people practiced the blood covenant, but they didn't maybe know why, but they knew it from generations before. It came from somewhere, and it came from Genesis. And then he introduced the gospel to them through it, and they conceived.
Amen.
Because they were practicing the blood covenant. What about the Red Indian? He cut his hand, you cut your hand, and we joined hands, and your blood and my blood mixed with blood brothers. Blood covenant. But now we have a covenant which is no other covenant like it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, God and Abraham entered into covenant.
Amen.
And you know this, God never breaks covenant. Amen? When you see it raining and you see a rainbow, that's a covenant sign. That rainbow is a covenant sign that God gave to Noah. And he says, I'll never flood the earth again with water. There's floods, but not the earth. And every time there's rain and the rainbow comes, that's God reminding people thousands of generations later, that's the covenant I made, I'll never break it. And we have a new covenant tonight by the blood of Jesus, and we can't break it.
Amen.
It's blood covenant. I'm finishing tonight. You see this sacrifice? This is what he called. This was what he called the once and for all sacrifice. I'm closing. The once and for all sacrifice. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's no more work for a man to go into a tabernacle to offer. Jesus has took care of it.
That's
right. He took the work out of it.
Amen.
And he sat down.
Hallelujah.
And he wants you to rest tonight. Are you hearing me tonight?
That's right.
He wants you to stop trying. Don't struggle.
Amen.
Struggling won't do it. This is not a natural thing.
Right.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But Jesus conquered them. Not only did he conquer them, but the word of God says he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And God raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
On the third day.
Amen.
His blood annihilates sin. I love it the way Brother Branham says it. It annihilates it.
Amen.
It's gone. No longer to be remembered against you no more. The sins of thy youth will I remember no more. Isn't that wonderful, brother?
Amen.
God won't remember them. They're gone. The thing that God can't do, remember your sins. You hear me? That's Jeremiah. You can take a title from that if you want it. The forgetfulness of God. Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
Let's stand our feet tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Is anyone here tonight would say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Just lift your hand to the Lord. Whatever you need are tonight. And you want prayer. God bless you. Praise God. Remember, God bless you. What I said this morning, listen to me. I want you, when I'm saying I want you, I can't make you do nothing, but I'm just saying to you, as a minister, try at least for 5 minutes, even if it's just 5 minutes, every night, gather the family.
Amen.
And pray that God will protect your house. Plead the blood of Jesus over your children, over your wife, over your husband. Pray in the mornings as well.
Amen.
Don't go out, hurry you pray. Take a few moments and just reach out to the Lord. And if you can come to the Wednesday night service, to a prayer meeting, we'd love to see you coming. I know some people work, you can't get it, but you can still pray at home and just pray and have your own wee time with the Lord, you know, and the Lord will honor your prayers. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you tonight for the hands that's raised. Lord, what a wonderful privilege we have this evening.
Amen.
That a holy, righteous God that can't stand the sight of sin would send his own son, Lord himself, a little lower than the angels.
Hallelujah.
Took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Would go the whole way to Calvary, who suffered and died alone in our room.
Hallelujah.
And in our stead. We thank you tonight. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That it washes us and cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Father, we say, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, as a brother said the other week, we place between ourselves and our children and the enemy the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. We apply the blood tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, just like you told Moses all the years ago. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Father, I plead the precious blood upon each one.
Hallelujah.
Come to this roof tonight, upon all that's near and dear to us. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Father, you see every hand that's raised in this room tonight. Lord, I'm asking you, you'll meet that need.
Hallelujah.
For that brother, for that sister. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for how you touch people even today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, even touched me, Lord.
Amen.
I give you the praise and all the glory. Father, this evening, touch others that need your touch tonight. We thank you for Brother Colin's testimony. We pray you'll keep him and you'll watch over him.
Amen.
We pray you'll bless him and strengthen him. Bless Lydia as well. Give them strength and give them grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask this evening, Lord, for anyone listening into this service tonight, Lord, if there's a man or a woman that's not saved or doesn't know you as their Savior, may they call upon the name of the Lord and repent of their sins and be saved in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for each and every one this evening that you bless each one from the navel. Lord, that you strengthen the bones and the very bodies.
Amen.
Lord, that the power of God will come upon your people. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Hallelujah.
Lord, this is your word. We believe your word.
Amen.
He has owned self bare our sins in his own body. On the tree that we've been dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we believe your word tonight. Father, pardon us for your blessing. Help us as we go tonight to worship and give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. God bless each one. Don't pray. We're going to be continuing on Wednesday, next week as well. Pray for Brother Keith Malkus. I'm meant to be coming unless something changes. Pray the Lord will bless your brother as he comes. And just the Lord will have his way. Praise God. And everything that's happening, just keep praying. Well, I believe a lot of people's overreacted to the whole thing, but you can never overreact with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless you, brother.
Let us sing Victory in Jesus.